said, I don't know how many times I've got to tell you just to press the fucking record button. Because all the stuff that happens before you press record is funny. It's light. It's color. We give the people what they want.
Yeah. You mean when I was like using my dick to be a helicopter before, where I just walked in the room and I was like, hey, baby, check this out. And it's like, doing a meat spin. Remember meatspin.com?
No, what was meat spin?
This was what me and my friends would send to each other.
Hang on, I'm Googling.
So, like, if you had to send a link to somebody, you would, like, name the link something else, but, like, link them to meat spin, and it was just a gif of a guy, like, spinning his dick around. Like, just moving his hips so... His dick would spin around like a helicopter.
Is it a website?
It's probably not. This was like 2006. It's probably.
Oh, here we go. No, it's there. And he's getting fucked with a condom on. Yeah. It's getting fucked in the ass. And as he's bouncing up and down, his dick is swinging.
Yeah.
Well, that is good content, everybody. Sex chatting, Craigslist hookups. Well, I don't know if fucked that, my algorithm.
I don't remember.
Oh, two girls, one cup. Memories.
Yeah. Or like, God, what were the other early internet things? Like, it was like Lemon something, and it was like this really
cool. Lemon Party.
Yeah, Lemon
with
Party.
With the old dudes.
Yeah, that's that. But then there was also a really creepy one with like a girl that was like meant to be like 12, but she looked like she was 104.
Whoa, that is.
That would just like walk around her backyard in a really creepy way.
Ooh, I don't know about that. Anything sexual and mentioning the word 12-year-old, I am.
No, it wasn't sexual. No, it wasn't sexual. I just said creepy. So it was like, it was filmed like a, it was probably just like a film student who was trying to like make like a horror scene, but it got passed around the internet of like, check out this girl. She's only 12, but she looks like she's 120.
I don't know what that is.
But she looked like she was like from The Ring.
Oh, right. Okay. And was it?
There was nothing sexual about it at all.
When was it filmed?
It was like, I don't know, around the same time, like early internet, like early cable modems.
And what do you reckon it was called?
I can't remember. I've got no idea. I can't remember. I'm just trying to think. There was like Holmes Runner, which was like the cartoon. It was like little 3-minute cartoons that this guy made. But I can't remember any of the characters. Anyway. Yeah, but anyway, Meat Party would get a run.
I mean, yeah. Maybe, yeah, I don't know. I'm getting a lot of weird-looking people.
It was like, I felt like with me and my mates, like the internet started off as very quaint, like just going on like chat boards and like sort of teasing people and making friends and stuff. And then like, we were like junkies. We were trying to find weirder and weirder content. And then eventually something clicked and we just sort of matured and grew up, you know, and then stopped. But like got to, I think it culminated with Two Girls, One Cup, where it was like, okay, this
That's
is like.
That's where we all become men.
This
really.
Is like, okay, this has really sort of gotten out of control.
First time someone showed me that, I had nightmare trauma flashes of it for days. Yeah, like crazy. It really affected me. I wasn't like, you know, watching porn and like I grew up in a different time. And it was really, and I remember I was living in Victoria Street. Oh no, was I? Oh, I can't remember. But I remember showing there was a, I don't know if it's, you wouldn't call it a meme, but what is it called when you, I guess now people do it on TikTok, but there was a thing where you would post videos of people online watching it because the music, you'd know what the music was.
Yeah.
So you'd be like, I remember the famous one.
Reaction videos.
But it was on YouTube. So it was before any kind of like no Instagram and stuff. Can you imagine? Before Instagram. I mean, it was a simpler time. The before time, the long, long ago.
BI. And I call it BI.
Before internet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Before Instagram.
Oh, yeah. And there was an older like grandma, and you hear the music and she's like, oh, what's happening? Because they've obviously said, grandma, just, you know, talk about what you're seeing. It's pretty funny.
Mate.
What's happening? Oh no. Oh, come on. And what was the kid's name? Like, Jonathan, That's it. What is she doing? And it was so funny watching it. I remember I did one with Justin, my friend Justin, mm-hmm. and he was, you know, and he's a gay guy. He's seen stuff, you know, he's had a bit of fun in his life.
Yeah.
But he was just like, oh. But yeah, I was traumatized. I was traumatized from then. And then I think then I was just like desensitized to a bunch of stuff.
I feel like reaction videos then was a lot of like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Because things were just so much grosser, you know? Yeah. Like,
but I remember the first thing on, like, as soon as when YouTube came around,
yeah.
I remember I was at mum's house and I was describing, I think Joanne was there, my sister, and I don't even know the first person who showed it to me. Like, I just remember the idea of it. I was like, oh, there's videos on there.
Yeah.
So I remember like describing to my mum. My mum was like what? And I was like, you know, Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream speech. And yeah. She's like, wow, really? And we didn't look that up. We looked up Marty Munster getting beaten up by a kangaroo. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go on YouTube and just put in Marty Munster gets beaten up by a kangaroo. Marty Munster was a child entertainment, like a Humphrey B. Bear type, like was, a Bluey type.
Yeah, who like did a kids show. Like an Australian version of Barney, yeah. But like.
And they had a big.
Much
red...
more piss weak than that. Yeah. And it was on a live TV show.
Fat Cat was a fat cat.
Fat Cat was another thing.
Oh, it was another one.
When we were growing up what in the 80s, it was the golden age of...
What did I say?
You said Marty Monster. He's right. That's right.
It is Marty Monster. Yes, it was a Fat Cat.
Yeah, Marty Monster. Marty Monster. Okay, all right. Just relax for 2 seconds. I'll explain to the audience what the fuck all of this means. Marty Monster was a mascot on a show called The Early Bird Show that was on Channel 10, which has perennially been the shittiest free-to-air station in Australia. We have to remind ourselves that there's a lot of people in the US and UK listening to this, so we've got to give like some cultural norms. But anyway, you can look it up. Marty Monster gets beaten up by a kangaroo. It is one of the most Australian things you'll ever see, and it'll give you a really good insight into what Australian TV was like
look
in the mid-80s.
Look at Marty Monster's face. I'm just bringing it up for Damien. Marty Monster, he has like, yeah, it's this piss-weak like children's performer. He's got three teeth in his mouth.
Yeah.
And he's really getting the shit beat out of him by a massive kangaroo.
And the hosts are like, because it must be such a like, I mean, I'm sure there's some people who enjoy doing it and stuff, but it's obviously like a gateway job for people in TV.
Yeah.
And so it must be so boring to like every Saturday morning. You can't go out on Friday nights because you've got to be at the fucking studio at 5 a.m.
But this was
on a
big deal
morning.
When you hosted children's television.
So
it made
just
people.
Just to watch Marty Monster get the fucking shit beaten out of it, that would be the best day ever at work. Because they're not doing anything. They're just standing in the background watching this.
Well, it was a big deal. Like Katrina Roundtree, you know, she ended up doing Getaway, which seems like an amazing job after that, you know. But
Katrina Roundtree hosted a show called Warner Brothers. Was it the Warner Brothers Afternoon Show?
I don't know. It was a big
like
deal to do children's television back in the day.
It was called What's Up, Doc. It was called What's Up, Doc. Right?
Yeah, I think so.
And it was hosted by Sophie Lee first and then Katrina Roundtree. And I always wondered why my dad would sit down and watch the shows with me.
You know what's so good about that footage,
it was
though?
Essentially hot bikini babes showing Warner Brothers cartoons.
You know what was so good about that footage, though, was that it was live. Like,
yeah,
that kind of stuff was
well,
always...
most, yeah, mo- it felt like, was Agro's Cartoon Connection live as well?
I don't think so.
The Early Bird Show definitely was. I feel like Agro was, because there's all these, like, clips now. So, Agro...
You're such a naughty boy, Agro. Like,
Agro is like a, it's a slang term for aggravated or aggressive. It's for aggressive. So essentially,
he was named after that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he was an angry little dude. He was always like, "What?"
Agro's Cartoon Connection.
Yeah, essentially aggressive's yeah. Cartoon Connection.
Jesus.
But yeah, he's like this weird little Muppet. But even the biggest show on TV in Australia in the 80s was Hey Hey It's Saturday, that was hosted by Daryl Summers, sort of like. Comedian host?
No, he was a host. He was a host, not a comedian.
But Hey Hey Saturday was a comedy show.
It was an ostrich.
It was essentially like a Tonight Show, but it was hosted by...
It started as a children's show.
It started as a kid's show, but I'm talking about when we were like 7 years old. Yeah. It was the biggest TV show in the country on Saturday nights called Hey Hey, It's Saturday. It was hosted by Daryl Summers, who's like, I don't know, a talk show host, and a puppet ostrich called Ozzy Ostrich.
And then over time, they just got rid of the ostrich because, and if you, I mean, Harry Connick Jr. will never appear on that show again. Well, if it was still on TV.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other thing. But just imagine being like, I saw a clip the other day of Johnny Depp, right? Now, okay, we all know that Johnny Depp's like, oh, fuck up now. But this is like 1990, like peak, like season 3 of 21 Jump Street. Johnny Depp's come to Australia to promote 21 Jump Street for some reason. It's literally
being forced.
It's well, it feels like it because he does not look happy to be there.
Fuck.
He comes out, right? First and foremost, the crowd is filled with teenage girls. It's like Beatlemania. Gross. Like so they're like, ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Depp. And like he walks out and it's like, ah.
Fuck.
Well, it's not gross at the time. He's 23 years old. He's the hottest man in the world.
Gorgeous.
Like,
gorgeous. Yeah.
But then he walks out, he sees Daryl, shakes his hand, and then sees fucking Ozzy Ostrich.
Dude, that is weird. Could you imagine?
And the look on his face is like, where am I? What is this? You know what I mean? Like Tom Jones, fucking Paul McCartney.
I know.
The biggest stars in the world at the time.
The only show they could perform.
Sylvester Stallone. Like it was the only talk show in Australia. They fly all the way down here to like sell whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, it was a Saturday night show that had an ostrich and a blonde. It always had a chick on it, like
also,
a blonde chick.
We're also forgetting Dickie Knee, which is a terrible.
Oh my god, Dickie Knee,
which is a terrible fucking pun on like you know,
Dickie Knee was a puppet that would come up in front of Daryl, and you only see his hat and his hair.
It was
the
like a back of a schoolboy.
Yeah.
So he would just come up and be like, "Mr. Summers, Mr. Summers."
Yes, Dickie. What is it, Dickie?
And he would make some sort of sexual innuendo. Or
sometimes I like getting on my knees too.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you had a guy that was drawing cartoons, and when he drew a funny cartoon at a funny moment,
Andrew something. He came along later, but yeah, those cartoons were also.
And then you also had John Blackman, who was in the booth,
when
things were funny, would go, "Well, ladies and gentlemen, live television."
Yeah, so like.
John Blackman, famous broadcaster because of his voice, I think got jaw cancer and now can't talk, which is what a cruel world.
He can talk. He's got like a prosthetic part of his jaw or whatever. But yeah.
Good times.
It's not great. Well, he smoked for 40 years, you know. Just a bizarre show. Like, so if you've never seen it, but essentially that was the television landscape at the time. So like. The early bird show having a guy called Marty Monster host it to get like I think if you told anyone from any other country they would think Jesus Christ Australia is like the Simpsons episode.
It is, yeah.
You know what I mean? Remember how upset we all got when the Simpsons episode aired?
Now I think it's so funny.
We're like, we're not like that.
They're so mean to us. Oh no, there's something happening in at the McKinsey place.
I have to ask the Prime Minister. Hey, Prime Minister.
No. Hey. Andy!
Andy.
Andy! What?
Like, we literally do call our Prime Minister Elbow.
Yeah.
Anthony Dude, Albanese. So if any of us saw, you're right there, fucking John Blackman.
I'm not smoking, I know.
If any person saw our current Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, in the street, they would literally call him Elbow. Yeah. No one would call him Prime Minister. No, like, the people would just be like, hey, Elbow!
Dude.
There's no, he doesn't get around in a motorcade like the President of the United States.
He's
like,
proud of his Westie roots.
He lives in Sydney. He's constantly going out to cafes and stuff like that and people just like, Elbow!
Yeah, it's, I do, like, looking back at the Simpsons episode of Australia, like, yeah, at the time we were
It's not
so,
that far removed.
I remember hearing Harry Shearer on Martin Malloy go, there's going to be an episode that you guys are going to hate. Like, he knew, because he's here all the time, I think because his wife's Australian. But he was like, you're going to hate it. It's so bad. And he's like, there's a point where, at some point, there's the writing. And he was actually making fun of the writing, like going, they're running out of ideas. And I think that was like there was a part of The Simpsons where there was a massive lull in writing where it was a bit shit. And I will, mate, I'll defend this. If you watch it now, today, the last few years, it's funny because all the writers grew up on The Simpsons, know that what we know is funny, and they do that. You know, there was a time where it was getting written by people like the golden years of The Simpsons was Conan, and he was there.
It was season like 1 to 10.
Yeah, right. And then there was a lull in the middle, and then it got good again. People was shit on it. I don't give a fuck. Trust me, it got good because the people writing it are us. We know they know how to channel a Mr. Plow episode. Anyway, but
so you've played Knifey Spoony before,
dude. That episode, like the bum. Like, yeah. And for Celia's birthday, I bought a flag, that flag from that episode of the bum, the foot and stuff. Amazon delivered it to the wrong house and we never got it. What a shit.
Oh, no.
Dude, well, it would have been such a funny present. Like, how dumb is that? So stupid.
So dumb.
So dumb, but I love it. But it's a great, mate, Knifey Spoony before, like, the cane toads.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Dude, it's brilliant. Dun, 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 dun. And when he, like, the toilets that go the other way, America, and he cries. Yeah. Dude, it's so dumb, but it's so good. Like, I mean, fair enough, like, there's, like, a Russian episode that's really bad and, you know, there's other episodes.
But I think the Australian one was first because then they go to Japan and they go to Russia and then it, like,
I think
over time, people are like, oh, it's like they're going to tease wherever they go. And, like, also, they were criticizing America weekly for years. Anyway.
Also, that episode had up.
It's a joke, whatever.
Yeah, it's a joke, whatever, I guess. Hey. That episode also had the Lisa. Much. Just so everyone knows where I came from.
Hey, it's Christmas week. Christmas is only two sleeps away.
It's Christmas.
I was watching a game of cricket yesterday. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep.
Blah, 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 blah.
I was watching a game of cricket from New Zealand yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And there was this little girl in the crowd with her dad, and she held up a sign. Usually the signs will say, hit a six, or I love Davey Warner, or whatever. And this sign said, only three sleeps to go. And I thought it was so adorable. And dad had obviously helped her make it. And no one at any point. If I had made that sign and wanted to take it to the cricket with my parents would have been like, you know, this has got nothing to do with the cricket.
They wouldn't have got it. Yeah. It's like, you know what I mean? How it's about like, just doing a nice thing for your kid?
Yeah, it's just nice and sweet. And then she gets on TV. And
mate,
like,
your parents would have loved telling you Santa wasn't real. Like, how long did they
Can we
really?
Have one episode where I don't relive childhood trauma?
But like, honestly, I feel like your parents are the kind of parents that they're so pragmatic. They would have been like, now listen, Damien, I know you're three, but Santa doesn't exist.
Yeah, it was.
Right?
Yeah.
We're on a budget. So just tell me what you want and I'll get it for you. That's why your family is so – I've never known another family.
There's absolutely no romance with Christmas at all.
I've
it's
never
so
known another family who just goes, what do you want for Christmas? And – the other person goes, I need a new pair of shorts. Here they are. Buy these ones. Like, there's no surprises.
I
at
don't
all.
Do that.
Like, it's to the point where, like, you know, like people will go, hey, this is what I want for Christmas. And they're adults. I cannot fathom it. Like, we do a Chris Kindle in our family. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying, like, they're just so pragmatic. It's like, why would you buy me something I don't need or
no,
don't
no,
want?
No, I hate it. I hate it. And, like, it takes why. All the fun out of Christmas. No, I
pragmatic.
Don't get why. Because just fucking, if someone buys you a bad gift, so what?
Yeah.
Take the loss
I don't
want to
waste
and
the money.
Move on.
But that's what's your family yes, like.
Because
don't waste the
they
money.
Fucking,
because they're good with money because they don't want to waste money. My family, however... Like, you know, you find $50 in the street, they'll spend $100 celebrating. like I got, for Christmas in our KK, I got a Lonely Planet book about Japan because
yeah,
I got it to Japan on our honeymoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. And then I got a bunch of, like, travel makeup bags, like beauty bags.
Mm.
So when I'm traveling, I've got, like, plastic, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, great. I've got 1,000 of them, but they're all old and crusty. So maybe this time I would never have bought that on my own. You know what I mean?
Maybe,
like, I would have just used the old and crusty ones, but now I'm like, oh, I've got new ones. It's nice.
Maybe you could go through the makeup in the spare room and, like, throw some of it away.
Yeah. I actually sent you a video on TikTok the other day about people like me who – and it's do you remember what it was? So basically people who grew up in a household where money was an issue, like there was
Oh, I haven't watched that.
Okay. So hey,
you only sent it to me last night, Bob. I haven't had a chance to look at it.
Well, so it's called Parsimonious. Parsimonious.
Right.
I'm parsimonious, which means my parents fought over money, which my parents fought over money all the time.
Right.
And the stuff that she talks about in the video is...
That's like the one thing mum and dad didn't fight over.
Yeah. So that's why we're a bit different. So... My parents fought over money, and everything this woman describes as being parsimonious
is exactly
what I am, which is like I have makeup for 10 years. Like I don't want to throw away makeup because when you live in a house where you fought over money, you don't want to throw things away. I eat everything on my plate. If there's leftovers, I package them up and take them home, right?
You don't eat everything on your plate, do you?
Well, this is the thing. I'm actually trying to get better at it because – you had to eat everything. But the leftovers thing, remember, you know how the leftovers
thing?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You're a big leftovers person.
Yeah, I'm like, don't waste food, leftovers. Like there's a whole thing that, yeah. Anyways.
But it'll be like two spoonfuls of rice and then it just takes up time in the fridge, like it just takes up space in the fridge.
Yeah, can't waste food.
No, I get that. That's a good attitude to have, but sometimes you've just got to cut your losses. No, but
she's saying it's almost like a trauma response.
Yes, I understand that, Bob. There's anyway, a lot of trauma. But anyway, it's Christmas episode, so let's not try and talk about our trauma. Yeah. So what I wanted to bring up is
what
something that it feels like a new phenomenon.
Phenomenon. Boop, 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 boop.
Phenomenon. Boop, 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 boop.
My bum.
Is adults wearing Christmas-like headbands to the office.
Yeah, it's weird.
So I finished my job this week, guys. Congratulate me. I saw it all the way through.
Are you going
to
name him?
Yeah.
And they were, mate, we need to do a podcast where we just talk about the people we used to work for and how bad they are.
Yeah, my dad reckons I should do a podcast about like just calling people out on LinkedIn and how shit work is and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's like you'd make a fortune out of that.
Mate, some of the shit that happened.
He might be right.
Like I talk about Vic Roads and Department of Transport, but goddamn, some of the stuff that happened at
if you've watched
Inappropriate Plus,
if you watch like The Thick of It or the Australian show Utopia, anything that sort of deals in bureaucracy, it's a pretty good gauge of what I was going through. But I'll just put it this way: I was a temp. I was always going to be a temp. I was there for three months. The whole time I was there, I was rewriting the document on how to do my own job.
Yeah.
So I was learning bits and pieces about my job and then expected to write a how-to on how to do that. Like even though there were people who had been in the organization for years, decades, for some reason I was writing the document that was going to be handed out to the whole organization on how to do HR work for the perpetuity in this organization.
And the document was already there, but it was your job to like update it.
To rewrite it. It was just busy work. Like the more I think about it, it was more busy work.
And there's two of you that got hired to do it.
Yeah. So like I don't want to talk too much about details, but it was one of those jobs where like when I got the job and for the first week or so I was like, I've made it. Right? I'm going to get to do copywriting stuff. I'm going to get to like finally utilize my communication skills. This will be a stepping stone into like a proper career. And within a couple of weeks, it was very apparent that like there was a pretty
oh, baby, what is happening? Get that cock out of your mouth, lol.
Toxic environment that no one was ever held to account. There was, anyway, I don't want to talk about it too much now.
I just want to say one thing. My favorite thing was when they got the temp who didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah.
To make and send out people's employment contracts.
Oh, it's crazy.
Which is like a really, really big deal. And there was four people above Damien. So the first person got asked to do it, who gave it to the second person, gave it to the third person, gave it to the fourth person. And they give it to the temp to do. And Damien's like, what?
Yeah.
And imagine then, your contract being written up by the temp.
And then either myself or the other temp would do it. We would do it incorrectly because no one had shown us how to do it properly. Then we'd get called into a meeting, get raked over the coals, and rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
This was the whole 3 month.
Yeah.
Tenure. So just
But then if you ask the three people above you why they couldn't have done it, is it because they don't know? They're like, oh no, we knew how to do it, but you know, we just but it's because they didn't know how to do it either. So everyone just handled work off not knowing because they didn't know how to do it. No one knew how to do anything, basically. Crazy. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I brought that up not to talk about my job, just like
this,
because I was at work like 2 days ago in the office and noticed, like, I walked in, the first thing I noticed was this woman walking past with like little reindeer, foam reindeer like headband on. It's just like this idea of like, and then I couldn't stop noticing it. Like, there were so many people in the office who had done similar stuff wearing like Christmas tree earrings or like they barrack for Christmas. You know what I mean? Like they're like,
imagine if you got like
Christmas was their football team and they won the premiership that weekend, and so they've all come into the office. Imagine that if
you
week.
Got into trouble and the person who had to tell you off was old foam reindeer antlers.
Yeah, yeah.
Now
yeah.
Damien, and then they're just wobbling in the wind. Oh, God. I'm pretty sure there's a sketch. That's a sketch.
I'm worried they'll get in trouble now for mentioning them on the podcast.
From who?
I don't know. From them. They'll sue me, take me to court for slander.
And for what? Like, were they going to, like, what, they want to get money off you?
Yeah.
All right, fine. They can take the Christmas tree we're about to throw away. Jesus Christ. I don't give a shit. Anyway.
Yeah, but anyway, so that's why I brought that up. Now I'm...
Oh, well, then fucking just beep it out when you edit it.
It wasn't just in the office, but like when I went out for my lunch break and stuff, I was noticing it everywhere of people wearing like Christmas shirts.
I wore a Christmas shirt to our lunch with my family because it's silly.
These people are at work.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah.
They're like the most boring person in the office, right?
It's weird. Oh.
Like this is their way of showing they have a personality.
This is what's sad is that outside of work, this is their only joy. Like they went out, bought something to wear to work because they – like what else are they doing in their lives?
I saw a video the other day talking about how work has replaced community and religion.
Ah.
Not that I'm like a religious person, but like I genuinely think that like – community touchstones like football clubs, cricket clubs, sporting clubs, whatever. Even things like Lions clubs or things that came out of, you know, like the Christian church is bad and there's a lot of bad stuff that comes out of it. But, you know, things like, I don't know, like Lions clubs and stuff like that where people would like dedicate their time to like feeding the homeless or whatever.
Yeah, 100%.
It still does happen, but not to the same extent.
And at least then in those groups, you enjoyed the people's company. But with work people, if you're substituting your community with work, I don't want to be around these people.
Yeah, because people don't have anything else in their lives. And so, like, for example, I was in a meeting, it was the last meeting of the year, and a woman who was on annual leave, who had gone on annual leave for a couple of different reasons. One was a health concern that needs to be reconciled. And then, you know, also she was just on annual leave, like popped into the meeting on Teams.
Dude.
To say hi and Merry Christmas to everyone.
I had that too. Someone was on annual leave for Christmas and she was in, it wasn't even a meeting. We have like a morning tea to catch up.
Right.
And she popped in. I was like, what are you doing here? You're on annual leave. She's like, oh, I just want to say hi to my friends. And I was like, oh,
these people aren't your friends.
But I guess like to her they are. Like that's
well, that's what I'm saying, right? Man, is that sad. Like more and more I see this in workplaces where people are substituting family, community, you know, spirituality. All of that stuff is being replaced by work. You know what I mean? And it gets talked about it like that in workplaces. Like, we're a family here. We're a family here at BP.
Well, I tell family members to fuck off. Can I tell you to fuck off?
We're a family here at Coles. That's why we got you a shitty Christmas present. It's a water bottle that's got my name on it.
Mate, they don't even get that. They just
that's what they got at Coles this year was a water bottle, a Coles branded water bottle, really? And a $5 voucher. That's what Coles employees got this year.
Dude, I didn't get a present off my work. Like, why are Coles employees getting a present?
Hey, are you fucking serious? The amount of bullshit those assholes have to put up with on a daily basis from the people who run that company. Anyway, this isn't funny. It's meant to be a funny podcast. Yeah, we're not talking about funny stuff.
Well, I'm waiting for you to do the intro.
This is, should we just watch it real quick? It is the only podcast where we spend most of it talking about socialism and what's wrong with the world. My name is Dr. Damien. I didn't go to medical school to be called Mr. Thank you very much. Joining me is the woman with the plan. Woman with the plan.
What?
It's Kelly Big Whoop. Wanna fucking fight about it for Stuka.
Listen, we gotta talk about these films. We did Christmas films this week.
Yeah, we did Christmas films. Now you'll know which ones they are by looking at the label.
Which one do we do first?
Let's do Love Actually first.
Nobody knows what I'd be without you. And in fact, it actually, their love is actually all around.
All around.
All right, listen, back in the day, this is a 2003 film. Very, very famous. Probably one of the most famous Christmas films ever. Richard Curtis did it. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of the first, like, all-star cast movies that has since been really, like, they've tried so hard to replicate, like, New Year's Day, Valentine's Day, like, all these shitty movies with, like, 20 people in the cast. I've loved this film for a long time, and rewatching it, there are elements where I'm like, woof, that has aged poorly, but there's really bad moments in it, but fuck, there's some pearls still. Some really good pearls.
Like?
Emma Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
That bedroom scene killed me.
No, it's too long. It's too long a scene. Anyway.
Fuck off.
I didn't. Look, you want me to Laura be honest Linney? Or do you want me to?
Laura Linney.
The Laura Linney scenes are pretty
you
good.
You were misty-eyed. It was a beautiful scene.
Yeah.
Where she goes, don't do that, my darling. Don't do that. Don't when he tries to. He's obviously got like really bad schizophrenia, you know. And he tries to hit his sister, you know.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yes. Yeah. What are you?
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
What?
I did. Well, we watched the film together, so you know what I think. You like, but I don't want to shit on it too hard because I know you love this movie.
Oh, nah, shit on it. We're on a podcast. Fuck. Jesus, shit on it.
When this film first came out. I bought it on DVD. I think I saw it at the cinema. I definitely bought it on DVD. And then it was as a share house. I lived in this place in on Napier Street in Fitzroy for a long period of time. And it became a tradition that when I say tradition, it was like 2 or 3 years. We watched it, you know, the week before Christmas. And we loved it. Mm. And it's like really interesting to me, like having, you know, smash cut 20 years later, having done a degree majoring in sort of film studies, that watching it now, I was like, this is a bad film.
Mm.
The script is not good. The scene between Keira Knightley and Walking Dead guy.
Oh, it's terrible.
Is so badly acted. So bad. It's so poor. Like,
she runs after him and gives him a kiss on the lips and runs back.
No, not even that scene. The first one where she goes around. So he's taken a whole bunch of footage with a VHS at her wedding, and she's like, "Oh, the wedding photographers have fucked up all the footage. I was wondering if I could come around and watch the footage that you
well
took."
Well done, you.
And then like she's watching it, and it slowly dawns on her that like her husband's best man and best mate is a creep. You know what I mean? Or that, like, he's in love with her. But that, even that's not even really spelt out.
Mm.
And then, like, when he's like, I've got to go. I've got a lunch at early lunch at it's a.
And then
she, like, stares at him and he turns around and goes, it's a self-preservation thing, really.
And then walks
out to the Dido song, just walking around like some shitty shopping center in London.
The Werribee Plaza.
The film, this is what it looked like. I actually think it was down in the... Anyway, it doesn't matter. I kept saying to you, I've never seen a better cast give collectively some of the worst performances of their career.
No.
Now, listen, Emma Thompson, Alan Rickman are in a scene together. They're always going to be solid, right? But, like... I don't understand what's happening half the time watching it now. Like, watching it sober, watching it as a 45-year-old, watching it with more of an idea of what is, like, offensive to other people and what isn't, watching it with a better idea of what a good script is and what isn't, it's poorly directed. It jumps around all over the place. It's trying to be a Hal Hartley film, but it just doesn't come across like that. Some of the acting performances, it's like, surely you could have had a second go at this.
No, I think you're
wrong.
Was
there any way of...
Everyone, mate, the acting's amazing.
You just said that Keira Knightley and Walking Dead guy were fucking pathetic in that scene.
No, I'm saying that scene and what it represents.
Their acting is terrible. Keira Knightley's terrible in this film.
The actual idea of, like, him being in love with her. It's just funny. No, I think Keira Knightley, they're all good actors.
Liam Neeson and the kid, like, the acting in most of the scenes in that is bad. When Liam Neeson keeps walking past the kid's room doing, like, ridiculous overacting, like, no.
Drums.
He's still drumming.
I don't agree with you. I think the acting's good.
So
I think that the smoochy kind of part of the film is what brings it down, not the acting. The acting, people are doing some good acting with what they got. Agree, disagree. No way. I don't agree.
It's the most boring Alan Rickman's been in a film. A man who I don't think is capable of giving a boring performance, and it's so fucking one note throughout the whole film.
But how good's Rowan Atkinson?
Is Rowan Atkinson meant to be like the spirit of Christmas or something?
He's just doing a cameo. He's just doing
I feel like there's some sort of like bullshit, like he's the magic of Christmas thing going on. Because like his actions lead to Alan Rickman getting caught out, and then he shows up at the airport later on that allows the kid to go. Also, the fucking kid storyline about like two 10-year-olds being into each other.
It's dumb.
It's fucking
love.
Weird and creepy.
He doesn't get caught out though. He goes back and buys it separately. Like he still gets it. She didn't catch him buying the necklace then.
No, she remember she comes back and she's like, oh, what are you doing looking? It arouses her suspicions.
Yeah, and that's what makes her.
Which is why she was looking in his jacket in the first place because she was trying to find
a present.
It's bad, man. It jumps around all over the place.
Soundtrack.
There are some crescendos where, like, the end of the Colin Firth story where he gets together with the Portuguese housemaid is, like, kind of cute and funny. But even that storyline of, like...
That should have been a whole film on its own.
It could have been.
We didn't see the growth. I don't feel like we saw the growth in their love.
And that's the other problem as well. It's, like, there's 10 different stories going on. You don't get really... any of it. Like, the Prime Minister of Britain doesn't do anything about the President of America sexually abusing, assaulting, like, an employee, but then goes out into a press conference and says, I will not back down from you.
He does something. He does, he dances to Jump for My Love. Jump it.
It's stolen from Risky Business.
No, Risky Business is dun 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 dun.
Just because the song is different doesn't mean it's like almost a shot for shot recreation of it. I don't know, man. Richard Curtis came up with guys I really respect in like Adrian Edmondson, Rick Mayall and stuff. And like I used to love this movie. I didn't laugh once. Throughout
I think we
the
just
whole
grew
film.
Out of the schmaltzy part of it because we all wanted to believe love actually is indeed everywhere.
I came into this film being like, oh, it's going to be like a super cancelable film and like it'll be like so like, un-PC. And there are maybe like four or five moments in the film where you're like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, calls him a spat. No. sissy. Don't be a sissy. Get over your dead wife.
Yeah, he's crying about his dead wife, and she's like, stop being such a sissy. Also, why are Emma Thompson – how do Emma Thompson and Liam Neeson know each other?
I think they're friends.
They're just friends.
Yeah.
But that's never explained at any point.
Well, I think you've got to have a bit of suspension of disbelief, Damien, which you really struggle with.
But no, but there's – like every other time a character like links in the film, they go out of their way to say – oh, hello, brother.
Maybe it
like
happened.
The way that sisters and brothers always talk to each other by going, hello, sister, hello, brother.
I don't know, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But I'll tell you what I do like. To lust in you.
You just like the soundtrack and you love that it's about love.
Away, who the center of that's a really great song.
Yeah.
That's a great song. Baby, baby, baby. Anyway.
Again, this is like 2003 English pop music. That
Dude, it's the best.
No, I'm not into
Dude,
it.
Dude, shut up. What? Dido. I won't go.
I can't. I will never be able to hear that song without thinking of that terrible scene.
Okay.
It's bad, man. Listen. The fucking the desecration of the Beatles at the beginning of the film.
All you need. Nothing you can do that can't be done.
It feels like. You know what it feels like? It feels like what a 15-year-old boy thinks is romantic.
Yeah, that's who they made it for, because when you were 15, you loved it.
Yeah, man, it's not.
Listen, it really ties in well with our next film. You're a bit of a Scrooge, I think, for love and Christmas.
No, I love Christmas, and I love love.
I mean, I love love.
Mate, I really did not, like, I didn't enjoy watching Love Actually again 20 years later. I'm going to give it like 1.5 grumps.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was poorly acted, poorly written, poorly directed.
Nah, I'm going to give it 2.5 grumps, and it lost a few grumps because of, like, whatever they said, sissy.
Yeah, there's some scenes where, like, there's a lot of fat jokes as well.
The fat jokes.
The fucking secretary or, like, whatever she is, the catering manager – who, like, falls in love with Hugh Grant, which is also, like, they fall in love immediately. But, like, she's constantly being called fat. I mean, these are arguments that have all been made 1,000 times online.
The chubby one.
But she's so beautiful and thin. Yeah. And she's a fucking actor. Like,
She needed to be 10 kilos heavier to be referred
to
as a chubby
one. She's a film
actor.
Like, she's stunning. Stunning. Like, and they're constantly talking about her as, like, oh, this heifer over here. Like,
yeah. Okay, 2.5.
That's bad. One and a half for me.
All right, you want to start with the next one?
Yeah, we watched Scrooged, which I realized like 20 minutes into the film that I think I was actually thinking about the Dudley Moore Christmas film.
Ah, yeah.
I can't remember what's
that
called.
It's called Santa Claus. The one where he has – is it the one where you've got like the candy canes that make people fly?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's set called Santa Claus.
I think my dad might have – taken us to see both of those films, and that's why I'm getting them confused.
I never saw Scrooge growing up, but I definitely saw the Dudley Moore one where it was the special candy canes and John Lithgow's in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he plays an elf.
We might have seen them at different stages of my childhood and I'm just conflating them. So, and I'm like on a big 80s movie kick.
You sounded really Italian then. And I'm a big Italian movie, 80s kid.
And I'm how you say, I like the 80s movies.
I like the Santa Claus and the Dudley Moore.
I'm revisiting a lot of films from my childhood, some that I watched a lot, some that I didn't. And so I thought, let's watch an 80s Christmas film, you know. And Scrooge came into my head. Bill Murray, I know Bill Murray's had some stuff come out recently, but I love Bill Murray. And I was like, I don't really remember anything about this film besides the fact that it's Charles Dickens. A Christmas story. What is the original? What is the Dickens name of the
Christmas
story?
Christmas Carol.
It's a Christmas Carol,
right? Christmas Carol.
So, yeah, he's like this TV executive who is making his own version of A Christmas Carol, and he's like trying to like 80s it up, schmaltz it up, and he has these... and then, you know, A Christmas Story, A Christmas Carol story happens. Mm. This film's weird and interesting, and I don't know what to like. When I took Jim for a walk this morning, I was like, "What am I going to say about this film on the podcast?" I don't, I don't really have too much to say about it, but I'm sure I will as soon as I start. What I think the film, I'll put it this way. I think the casting around Bill Murray is really good. Like, I think the rest of the cast is great. Like, the guy from New York Dolls who plays the Ghost of Christmas Past.
Robert Mitchum.
Oh, my God. I've forgotten her name from Raiders.
Raiders Karen Allen.
Karen Allen is, like, his girlfriend that he's trying to, or ex-girlfriend that he tries to get back together with, or, you know, does eventually. The thing that I found really weird watching this last night, Stooks, is that Bill Murray is in this film and you maybe get like five or six little chuckles out of him. It might be like the unfunniest he's been.
It got a lot of shit when it first came out. It did not do well.
In a film? Like,
yeah. It was considered a flop when it came out because he'd just come off doing Ghostbusters. He didn't do a film for 4 years after Ghostbusters and this was his first film.
Right.
And people were like, expecting more, you know, like the run up, like because what was not Cannonball? What was the
Caddyshack? Yeah,
that, you know, like all the Saturday Night Live stuff.
Yeah, SNL, then, Caddyshack, yeah. Ghostbusters. So this, is it like
he has a break and then does this, and people were like, it's like when, because there is an element of seriousness. I don't know if it's supposed to be that funny, this film.
No, it can't be because it's like the bones of the story is A Christmas Carol, right? Yeah. So like you can't. I mean, the Muppets Christmas Carol is pretty funny. They did a pretty good version of it.
Yeah.
But it's all the characters around Michael Caine. Muppets are what makes it funny.
It's the Jim Carrey curse where you're a funny guy and then you try and be serious and people go, well, the film's shit because he wasn't funny. But it's like, but he's not supposed to be because it's like, you know, it's a serious film.
But I feel like the tone at times in this film, like they are trying to be funny and he's definitely wisecracking a lot. But because his character is so unlikable, you're not on board with him. And you shouldn't be because he should be contemptuous from the start and he has a character arc and changes and by the end of the film you love him because he's seen the true meaning of Christmas. And the last sort of 5-10 minutes of the film I felt like did pop because you've got Bill Murray being – he's in full Bill Murray mode, right? Like he's – kissing people, he's pouring drinks, he's riffing, he's like, don't you reckon?
It's hard. I feel like if I was younger, maybe I would have. There's a lot of adult jokes in this, so I don't think as a young kid this would have worked, which is probably why I got so much shit. Because even when they had like Christmas Carol dances, which I actually think is really funny.
Yeah,
that's like, let's just try to modernize it. And the way their outfits were, it looked like they just had massive vaginas. Like hairy vaginas. It was quite, it was funny
Bill,
bits of it.
Bill Murray's character had purposely done that because he's a sleazebag and he was like just trying to sell sex and he was trying to make a sexy version of A Christmas Carol. You know what I really did like in this film was the effects.
Oh, yeah, right.
The practical effects.
Oh, you like, love practical. You do. You do love a practical effect.
Yeah, well, because everything that was done in it was like real and it was in the room with Bill Murray and it gave like. Dude, I felt like those were the scenes that really popped for me. It's like when the Ghost of Christmas Past came up on all the TV screens behind him and they had obviously just done that by cutting up the image and putting it across 9 different TVs.
But yeah, that looked, was really good.
Yeah, but it looked like he was creeping up into his office. Like stuff like that when Bill Murray opens up the Ghost of Christmas Future's cloak and there's like a bunch of little fucking gremlins in there.
Yeah, that's
stuff.
Pretty funny.
All that kind of 80s practical effects stuff is like
Little Shop of Horror stuff.
Way more interesting, way cooler. It will stand out in my head. It'll make me want to go back and watch Scrooged again at some point because I loved all the practicalness.
As you might know, I reckon you might notice extra stuff on the second watch as well because I mean it's not a great film. Look, it was made for $32 million and they made $100 million. So it tripled its you know what I mean? So it wasn't that much of a flop. It was nominated for an Academy Award Best Makeup, but lost to Beetlejuice. That's the thing. It did have a massive Beetlejuice vibe to it, but Beetlejuice is incredible.
Beetlejuice is a much more interesting film.
It's just there's elements of this film where I'm like, oh, that's so dumb. right? But with Beetlejuice, like the big boss watching it on television going, oh, cancel the show, and then Bobcat Goldthwait's character coming in and holding everyone hostage in the control room. Like there's – it's like I take the film for what it is. There's just a lot of elements in the film that I have to go, oh, yeah, well, I guess that's what happens now. It doesn't – there's no – there's – it just loses a lot of beats. But it's just – it's an 80s film. If you're writing a film like that, you got to – there's filler in between and it's just whatever. But then I look at a film like the – like Beetlejuice and there's no scene in Beetlejuice that wasn't intended to be there. It rolls around. Like there's just a lot of – like this whole thing with the big boss was I don't think needed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they could have just had one guy, the guy. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But there's just, you know, there's films that you watch where there's just really dumb acting. There's scenes of really dumb acting and it just stands out, but you just take it for what it is because it's a dumb film. So I don't hate on it, but just if I was comparing, Beetlejuice does not have any scenes like that. Everything is purposely put in with like it's like after the film was done, sometimes you can sense like they've edited the film and they're like, oh, we're missing something and they have to go back and reshoot. Like sometimes it's like, oh, we just need a scene that shows that he's mad at her, you know, or something.
Right.
And I feel like you can tell in 80s films when they do that because it just seems out of place and doesn't fit and just
weird. I thought Karen Allen and Bill Murray had good chemistry together. I think the idea was like we'll have Bill Murray as Scrooge and we'll have Bobcat Goldthwait as Tiny Tim and it'll just be hilarious and we'll make like a hilarious version of Scrooge.
But it's not supposed to be a funny film. Because
those
weird
guys at that time would have been two of the biggest comedic actors going around. So it's like we'll just put these guys in a Charles Dickens story and we'll just print money.
But I think that's the point. Like the whole thing with Bobcat Goldthwait going crazy with a gun Christmas Eve because he got fired. Like there's this film, are you a funny film or are you a sad film? And I think that's where it's like those little bits were put in to make it funnier. Like that's what it is. They edit it together and they're like, we need more jokes. Go back and do a scene with Bobcat. Do one with Robert Mitchum. Those scenes, just fuck it up. Just make it a serious film. That happens to be funny sometimes. The scene where he's in the sewer and he finds the homeless guy that's frozen to death. That, you know what I mean? Like, that's, you know, it should have been it should have been a serious film with jokes along the way, not a funny film with serious moments. And that's what a lot of people do wrong in Hollywood when they don't understand what they want to be. We've had this conversation a lot on this podcast where films fail because they don't know what they want to be. And you're better off being a serious film that is sometimes funny.
Yeah. Well, people want to make a four quadrant film. And I think that this film suffers from that. Like, well, it's for the whole family, but it isn't really for the whole family. Like,
no, there's too many adult jokes in it. But also, like I think of Truman Show, serious film,
yeah,
sometimes funny, excellent. Like if they had have made that film a funny film, it would have fucked up. And that's where Scrooge could have been a lot better.
It could have been. I still think it's a really interesting film to watch.
It could have been more interesting. I thought that their take on this is the thing, like the Christmas Carol, their take on death and like, you know, the present, the ghost of present, like was a fairy who loved violence. Like that stuff's fun.
Yeah.
Like I love interpretation of that story. It's great. It's fantastic. Like, yeah, everything about that is excellent, but just be a serious film. He can do serious, you know?
Yeah. I think there's enough interesting bits in the film to keep you interested. I noticed that like halfway through the film you put your phone down and was like – and you were invested in watching the rest of the film. So like as much as it like isn't like the perfect film by any stretch, I think it's still interesting enough. Like there's enough going on to like keep you interested right until the end. And, like, even though it was kind of wedged in there, the, like, Tiny Tim story about, like, his assistant's son who hadn't spoken since his dad had passed away and then, like, speaks once Bill Murray, like, has the spirit of Christmas in. That got me.
It did.
It was designed to get me, and it got me.
You get got though pretty good though.
I had a little tear rolled down the eye. I was like,
you get got though pretty good, baby.
Got the Christmas spirit, yeah.
Yeah. Blah 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 blah. I'm just trying to see what its Rotten Tomatoes are, but we don't really care about Rotten Tomatoes, do we? I mean, it seems to be all right. 71. Look, and it's strange, fantastic, dark. Like, it's a dark comedy. That's what it should be. It's a dark, strange comedy. But 71%, I wouldn't, on Rotten Tomatoes, I wouldn't have done that. I don't think it deserves that much. There's too many terrible scenes with bad acting for it to pass that. But the thing is, yeah, the past guy, that the singer, the New York Dolls singer who does the Ghost of Christmas Past, the whole thing about him and it's like he drives a cab, brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
An old 50s cab.
An old 50s cab.
Yeah.
Dude, brilliant. The death on, like his face is a TV screen of a skull. Brilliant. Like really great ideas, but why did they put in scenes to make it funny that were shit? Didn't need Robert Mitchum in this film.
Mm. I don't know.
Robert Mitchum and his big old dick.
I had a good time watching it. I had a much better time watching this than I did watching Love Actually.
Yeah, it was interesting. And Karen Allen needed more balls. Her character was too weak.
She is a little bit. Yeah, but
she just appears for him after he treats her like shit. Fuck you.
But, mate, if we're going to be deducting points for women not being portrayed as strong, then Love Actually should get zero grumps.
All right. Well, how many grumps you give Scrooge?
I'm going to give it 2.5.
2.5? You only gave Thingo 1.5.
Yeah.
I thought you liked it more than that.
I did. You've got to give yourself room to, like... It's not the best movie of all time. It's not even the best Christmas film. It's far from the best Christmas film. It's not even the best version of fucking
I don't know. The way you talked about Scrooge. It, I thought you were going to give it more than 2.5 grumps.
2.5 is middle.
Fine, I'll give it 2.5 too. Like I don't think it deserves 2, but I don't think it deserves 3.
No, yeah, it's not quite good enough to get into like very good territory. It's just, it's good. It's solid. It's a solid Christmas film. If you like Bill Murray and you like Christmas films, this goes for 1.5 hours. It's a fun time.
Mate, that's what I miss about films. 93 minutes. Yes.
Love Actually goes for 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Fuck. Just give me 90 minutes. I don't want films that go too long. I'm sick of this shit.
Do editors not exist anymore?
I want to watch Oppenheimer, but I know it's too long. I need toilet breaks.
That goes for 7.5 days. Did you know that? The film Oppenheimer? We've literally got to use a quarter of our annual leave to watch that fucking movie.
Hey, baby, I know that we have to end the podcast when I need to go to the toilet.
Yeah, we were going to try and do a 35-minute episode today.
No, you talk too much.
We're 57 minutes.
You talk too much.
Anyway, guys, this we've talked about doing this podcast for a really long time, and there was a lot of like hesitancy, and we were scared to do it, whether anyone would listen to it or not. Whether we would kill each other doing it. It's been so much fun doing this with Kelly throughout the year. And I really look forward to us sitting down every Saturday morning and doing it. And it also like gives us an excuse to like hang out and watch stuff. And like, I mean, we do that all the time anyway, but like it's a really good thing for us as a couple. And we really appreciate you guys inviting us and our craziness into your lives.
Yeah.
We hope you have a fantastic Christmas and an even better new year.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep doing episodes over Christmas because like we're in the house next to each other anyway. So we might as well do it.
We'll try and do some video.
Yeah, well, that's the next step is to try and, like, professionalize the podcast a bit more. But, yeah, I love you, Bob, and I love doing this. And
I love you.
I love you guys for letting us into your homes and ears and on the way to work or at work or wherever you're listening to us. We're starting to get more feedback from people, and it's all really positive. So,
spread the word. Tell your friends.
Yeah.
Ba-ba-da-ba. Ba-ba-da-ba. I love you.
Love you.